I thank you to Pastor Dan for his kind words. I am humbled and grateful. Thank you. Good morning to all of you that are in here and to all of you who are watching online. And I'm glad that God has put it in your heart to have an expectation of how God will speak to you this day. But let's begin with a reading of the text from the Gospel of Luke. I'm in the 13th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have any of you ever dreamed about the kingdom of God, as it's referred to in Luke, or the kingdom of heaven, as it is called in Matthew? Any of you had dreams about what heaven may look like? Well, we've heard it described in song or by poets as having pearly gates. Anybody hear that? Yeah, okay. Fluffy clouds and harp strumming angels. Its streets are made of gold, where people are walking all up and down God's heaven. Anything I missed? Heaven for anyone else? We've never heard? Well, I'm glad you're here today. But there's a song by Shirley Caesar, and it's a heaven song. So let's hear a little bit about it. Ooh, she's so joyful. I'd like to go there. Amen. But you know, there's the Isaiah text. And Isaiah describes the throne of God as high and lifted up. And he goes on, he says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above the throne stood the seraphims, angels. And each one had 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their face. With 2, they covered their feet. And with 2, they flew. I do love the long train. I picture it in a soft satin white, trimmed in gold. The 6-winged angels flying about. Now, that's a little scary to me because I don't like any flying, creeping, crawling creatures. So for me, that can't be heaven. John, in the revelation of his vision, describes heaven first with a door. He says, behold, a door was opened, and there was a throne. I like this open door policy. It means that whenever I need God, whenever I want God, God is there. And here in John's vision, he saw God and the Christ in all their majesty, splendor, and power. God is on the heavenly throne from which came lightning and thundering voices. There were seven fiery lamps or torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was seemingly a sea of glass like crystal. There are living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks to God. And there are 24 elders in white garments who fell down before the throne and cast their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Does that sound familiar? Have you sung holy, holy, holy? Anybody remember that? Around the glassy sea. So you knew about heaven and didn't even know it. Their white robes are shining as an outer expression of their inner purity. There's a golden magnificence, and in the background, the saints are praising with voice and harps. There is a rainbow overhead, signifying triumph over tragedy. This vision of heaven is the vision of the reign of God. I'm going there. I want to go there. How can I get there? Do you want to go there? How can you get there? Is the reign of God merely a vision? Is it fleeting? As a destination, do we physically get there or spiritually get there? Or both? Can we envision ourselves on this journey? And what is our role? Do we have a role in all this? Is it simply to dream or make the dream a reality? Heaven. I hate to burst anybody's bubble, so I won't. I'll let Jesus do it. In Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of heaven is in your midst. Even though we have dreams of heaven with its open door and streets of gold, Jesus says, "The kingdom is in our midst." The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is who or what we become in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus and by Christ Jesus over time. I should have written that so you guys could look at it, but I didn't because I just want to say it again. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is who or what we become in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, and by Christ Jesus over time. And Jesus explains through a parable which is just a short story with a lesson. He says the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed. I started to bring the grain of mustard seed, but I had it and then I didn't. But the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed planted and then becoming a tree for the birds to find lodging in its branches. One might ask, how do we get from a golden throne to a mustard seed? I heard one of you asking that. Thank you. So I'll answer your question. The seed, with all its potential, as tiny as it is, can be seen as the vision of the kingdom which is planted into the minds and souls and hearts of those who are called. So none of us escapes that because we all are called. That seed is nurtured, watered, and fed, taught, guided, molded, loved. And the angels of God provide a constant and continuous concert of light, sun, and rain, never letting up, overseeing until it becomes mature, kingdom prepared, and ready to be used by God for kingdom work. All this doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. We aren't kingdom people overnight. You know, a lot of us say, oh, I want to be like her. I want to be like him. We don't know where they are in this journey. But for us, we are not kingdom people overnight. As Jesus went on with his parable, the listeners knew it took time for trees to grow. They knew a lot more than me. I have 10 purple thumbs and 10 purple toes. 8:30 people didn't get it. But I know nothing about growing anything. My mother had 10 green thumbs and 10 green toes. Lawrence and I planted some beautiful, I guess it was St. Augustine grass. I don't know. But I was determined not to let any weeds grow in our grass. So every day, Lawrence really had to stop me, but every day I was out there pulling and pulling. And my mom said, Jermaine? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing a good job. She said, you're pulling the grass. That's how the grass grows and extends itself. I had no idea. I don't know. But I found out some trees take 30 to several hundred years to reach maturity. I hope it doesn't take us that long. But eventually it happens and they become a safe place, a sanctuary in which to perch, to settle, to rest. We can be that place, a place where someone can feel safe, a place of sanctuary to rest. We can be the kingdom. We need to give ourselves time, time to grow, time to mature, time to study. Pastor Dan just told us about a session later on this week. Time to study. Time to allow God fully to enter our very souls. Time to be transformed as we journey toward the heavenly kingdom. Is that not our dream? Is that not our destination? I have a parable. I always have a story to tell. But I have a son who is 45 years old. And when he was a little boy, he had dreams and visions of being a jazz pianist. He had dreams of being a sought-after drummer. Dreams of being a doctor of dental science, a professional bowler, a trumpeter, The list goes on. Do you have a child like that? Yes, no, you don't want to admit it. But this child took a month of piano lessons, a week of drumming, a summer Boy Scout workshop on dentistry, and a league season of bowling. Needless to say, he is not a renowned pianist. And the only thing he drums are spoons on anybody's table. I've never seen him in a professional bowling tournament. And let me just say, if he has a shingle hanging somewhere saying, "Dentist is in," heed my warning, stay out. As a teenager, he excitedly brought his trumpet to the first day of band practice as he proudly became one of the marching 100 of the prestigious St. Augustine High School marching band. This band is in almost every Mardi Gras parade for their entire 2-week Mardi Gras celebration. He came home after the first session. He packed up his horn and exclaimed, "They expected me to play this thing." He felt that after a mere introduction, he knew all there was to know about everything. And with this mindset, all his dreams and all his visions ended. Gone. Here's the truth. He could not become a pianist without hours of scales and time. He could not be a drummer without sheet music. He's like, "Mom, you need sheet music to play a drum?" "Yeah, you do." He could not be a drummer without sheet music and time. He could not be a great bowler without his own shoes, his own ball, which he convinced me to buy, and time. He could not be a dentist or a trumpet player without years of school and practice and what? Time. That's the operative word. Jesus is telling us that the wonders and magnificence of the kingdom happen over time. My young son's aforementioned dreams were dashed because he neglected to put forth any effort or time. As Christians, people who follow the Christ, we need to put forth effort and time. So if the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is who or what we become in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus and by Christ Jesus over time, and if the kingdom is within us, what are we doing to get there? What are we doing to get there? What effort are we putting forth to grow in knowledge, to develop our faith, to transfigure the reign of God from dream to reality? What regular practices have we adopted to become God's kingdom over time? Individually and as a church, like praying with each other, praying for each other. If you're hesitant to pray, just begin with Jesus. Even if you say no more than that, And there's a text that Pastor Dan and I share as one that's beloved. It's the Romans text, where when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for the saints with groans and sighs too deep for words. And that same Spirit takes that prayer up to God like incense. Oh my God, I love that text. It's in Romans. I want you to look for it, chapter 8. Praying with each other, praying for each other. Meditating on Scripture daily. Oh my gosh, you mean I have to read Scripture every day? It's hard to pick up a Bible and how do I fit that in my day? If you remember, I shared with you the best place for me to go is, anybody remember? The bathroom. Anybody take a shower or a bath? Oh, I'm scared. I saw two hands. Before you go into your bath or your shower, open your Bible. Read a text. Take it with you into the shower or into the tub. If you're a tub person, light some candles, put some music in the background, and then just go over the text over and over in your mind. The Spirit intercedes with groans so deep. Every day we shower. Take a text in with you. Meditate on Scripture daily. Learn through study. There are so many classes that are held right here. If you don't see one that you're interested in, start one of your own. If you're confined to your house, invite people in. Call me, invite me. Everybody's got to wear masks. But I love to be challenged about the text. If it's something that you're challenged with, call me. You know the one person who calls me all the time about reading Scripture and what he is sharing with others? My son. My son. He stays in the text. Meditating on Scripture, learning through study, showing love, extending mercy, offering forgiveness. Oh my God, she's mentioned that word again. Who in the world have I not yet forgiven? You know who it is. You know who it is. Offering forgiveness, sharing testimonies. I know the stories of a lot of you out here, but it's not my story to tell, it's yours. You know what God is doing, has done, and will do in your life. Sharing testimonies. Some of us pray, "Thy kingdom come." Others of us say, "Oh, return to sender." There is no dream, no kingdom, if we don't put in the work over time. It's not learning to play a horn, but still a great expectation. It's an expectation of us not to just march around pretending like we're Christians. The expectation is that the Christ has called all of us to be disciples. That is a scary place. What is he asking of us? But he also says, "Fear not." I do wish I would have looked up in a concordance before I came before you to tell you how many times in Scripture are those words, fear not, because we need to hear them. We need to read them. And if you forget, once you get in the shower, oh, what scripture? I don't have it. Take that one, fear not. Fear not. We are never alone. Like the parable of the yeast, God is working from the inside out to grow us, to take us all to the kingdom of God. And God will work until the kingdom is complete in all of us. Now that's heaven. That's heaven. Jesus has come, and in his great love for us, abides in us, dwells in us, lives in us, speaks through us, and continues his kingdom work with our hands, our minds, our feet, our ministries. This is the reign of God. The kingdom is not a physical place, but a spiritual space. The kingdom is within us, and the kingdom grows within with the tenets of love and attention and practice over what? Time. Y'all don't even sound excited about it. It's over time. The mustard seed is the pin light of faith that may be extinguished or laid dormant unless we mature it. Unless we nurture it, expand it, widen it, feed it, then let the Spirit of God take hold and breathe life into our very beings, transforming us into useful vessels, all to benefit and grow the kingdom. This is the dream, that the kingdom comes within each of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the kingdom come on earth and grow in us all to reveal the true kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.